Hello and welcome to the Private Labeler Show, where we are dedicated to helping you take your Amazon business to the next level. Now, here is your host, Nick Landowski.
Boom goes the dynamite. How the heck are you, everybody? Nick here at the Private Labeler Show, your wonderful host. Super, super stoked that you could join today. Very, very glad to have you. And wherever you're listening, so maybe you're on a car ride, maybe you're in a Starbucks, I don't know, maybe you're just somewhere quiet in your home. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you, interwebs. We love you. And just checking in here with episode number 10 of the Private Labeler Show. So if you haven't heard yet, Private Labeler Show is kind of a big deal, and we're trying to help 1,000 wonderful people quit their job and start an online business in 2016. So thank you for being part of that journey. I really appreciate it. And spread the word about Private Labeler Show. That would really help me out tremendously. So episode 10, everybody, what's this one going to be about? Well, I've been talking about this one for a while, and I'm super, super excited. It's going to be action-packed. Episode number 10 is basically how I used Amazon pay-per-click to become an Amazon bestseller, okay? I'm going to give you some nuggets and just some general ideas on how to get started with pay-per-click. Can be a little bit scary for some people. So I want to kind of, go over some frequently asked questions and just kind of give you my basic strategy that you can implement easily to start seeing some success with your product through Amazon sponsored ads, everybody. So before we get into that, I want to remind you to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube if you have not already. And also go to privatelabelershow.com. Make sure you subscribe there. I'll just simply notify you anytime there's a new episode or new content or new videos dropping. Keep you in the know. And also, if you haven't yet joined the Facebook Mastermind group, go to the privatelabelershow.com website. You see the Facebook Mastermind link there. Get in there, say hello to everybody, get active, and be awesome because you are. So, first things first, I just wanted to share a little bit of Amazon news with you. I've kind of been getting in the habit of doing that. I recently just read that Amazon is actually launching, or they already did launch, their own clothing line. So it's not an Amazon clothing line. It's just branded and they own it. So it's their own private label brand of clothing for men, women, and children. And you wouldn't know it just by looking at it. It doesn't say Amazon on it, like I said. And it's, you know, not all over their website yet, or I think it's kind of in select spots from what I gather. They're not trying to make it that big of a deal, but they're going after the clothing market now as well with some, you know, kind of some nicer quality clothing brands, some like business type clothing that I've seen, some, you know, pretty decent stuff. So again, it's just endless. Amazon's just kind of like, we'll get into clothing today and who knows what it'll be tomorrow. It just seems like it never ends. So I thought that was pretty cool. I wanted to share something before we dive into the episode about pay-per-click. I wanted to share a question that a listener by the name of Marco asked. And he was concerned about trademarks. In a nutshell, he was about to launch a product and realized that his brand name that he chose for his product, that somebody else actually had that brand name on their product and also trademarked. So he checked the trademark site and seen that there were live trademarks for his brand name. And there's some other things too as well, but the concern was, well, what should I do here? I went through the work. I have my product ready to launch. You know, he has packaging. He has, all this stuff ready to go. He spent a lot of time and, you know, took action. And, he's kind of just has some concerns and is a little bit nervous now because he says, hey, there's trademarks, there's actual live trademarks now on this. What should I do? Well, I'd like to obviously just kind of lead in and say, I'm not a lawyer and I do not play one on TV. And so whatever I tell you here, do not take as the gospel. This isn't the word of law by any means. So consult your own attorney on any trademarks or patent type advice. But basically, if I were Marco or if you're in this situation, I would absolutely steer clear of stepping on somebody else's toes when it comes to trademarks or patents. Quick fix is you could just simply, change your brand name. Figure that out however you have to do that. It might be a little bit of a headache or an inconvenience, but it's definitely something you're going to want to do. You don't want to step on somebody's toes, like I said, when it comes to trademarks or patents. You know, if they spent the money to file those, you're pretty much going to be darn sure that they're going to protect them, okay? So avoid that at all costs. Sometimes maybe you're starting out with a product and you just don't check the trademark stuff, the trademark website, and that's kind of on you to do that. You want to make sure that you're checking those things, and that way you just avoid any issues. Now, you could sell a product that somebody else has trademarked. You could get away with it for a while on Amazon, but in the long run, somebody's probably going to notice and they're going to say something. And eventually you might get a nice little message of communication from somebody saying, hey, you can't be doing this. Worst case scenario, they just say, hey, knock it off and, you know, please stop using our brand name or trademark name. And usually that's just going to be the end of it. Not saying that that's all that would happen, but it's just something you don't really want to dance with. I would just avoid it. So hopefully that clears that up. And anybody else out there wondering, trademarks and patents, got to check them. And just, you know, don't step on anybody else's toes. And we all make honest mistakes sometimes, so that's completely understandable. Now, this episode here is one I've been talking about for a while, talking specifically about Amazon pay-per-click. So sponsored ads. So now at this point, your product is up and selling on Amazon, hopefully doing pretty well. And now you really want to take it to the next level. You want to start driving traffic through Amazon pay-per-click sponsored ads, and really pushing the envelope so that you can start making more money and more profit. And obviously that's why we're all here, right? To make money. So what is exactly Amazon pay-per-click? Well, it's a system inside Amazon that it's fairly simplistic in how to use. It's a little bit more difficult than how to master, but sponsored ads are what gets served from Amazon pay-per-click. So when you go on Amazon.com and you're browsing around, let's say you type in the word grill brush as a customer in the search bar, you're going to see a bunch of listings for grill brushes. Well, basically, you can pay through Amazon pay-per-click to bid on that specific keyword grill brush in this example. And you'll have your ad potentially front and center at the top of the page or off on the side of the page you see sometimes on the right, maybe even down below, maybe even mixed in. Wherever it says Amazon sponsored ad next to the listing, that is an Amazon pay-per-click ad that's being served, okay? So that's a little bit about what it is. And, you know, basically sometimes people say, well, my product's doing pretty well. Do I have to use pay-per-click? My short answer to that is, yeah, you should invest in pay-per-click, understand it, and benefit from it, because there's so many benefits from it that lead to sales and profit that you're not going to want to pass up on. So the idea behind pay-per-click is that you're going to drive traffic to your listing through these different keywords that you are bidding on. And from there, the more eyeballs that you get on your ad, the more people are going to click on it. And once they click on it, they might buy it, which is awesome, right? That's the idea. They buy something from you and you make a profit. Well, the more of that you have going on, the more sales you're going to get. And hopefully the better, if you have a really nice listing, for example, if you have really good images and you have really compelling copy, you know, a great price, you just have a really great listing and you're driving pay-per-click to it, naturally, you're probably going to get sales and eyeballs on it. And that's going to lead to conversions and conversion rates. And if you have a really good conversion rate on your listing, Amazon's going to like you. Okay. And that's good. So the other thing it does, though, is it builds up your keyword ranking. So, for example, we talk about grill brush. If I am bidding on that word and people over and over and over again see my ad for a grill brush and they click on that ad and then they end up buying from that ad, Amazon says, hey, the word grill brush works really well with this particular listing. We're going to start to boost it up in the organic rankings because it just makes sense, okay? And that's what you want. You want to use your pay-per-click to get ranked on a whole mess of different keywords so that way when customers buy from those keywords through pay-per-click, over time, you're going to start naturally ranking organically, which is the ultimate goal. The more keywords you can rank for organically on first page or, you know, really high, basically, maybe second page, depending, the better, because then you won't need to use as much pay-per-click all the time to create sales because you already did that organically. Now, the other thing is, if you have a whole bunch of different products at this point, maybe you already have a handful and you kind of dabbled in the pay-per-click and you might be thinking, wow, this, I'm just not really good at it, but I have a lot of products and it just seems like, you know, too much to handle right now. What should I do? Well, in my opinion, hire somebody or outsource this process. There are so many people out there that are really good at things like Google AdWords, running pay-per-click campaigns for companies and things like that, that are also really good at Amazon pay-per-click and offer their services up so that they will take control over your pay-per-click account in Amazon and manage the entire process for you. So that's an option out there. My advice to you is if you're just getting started with all this, try to do it yourself first, learn it, understand it, and you may decide, geez, I hate this stuff. I don't really want to do it. And it's totally fine to think like that. And you could absolutely hire somebody if you have the budget to just completely take it off of your plate so you can work on other facets of the business. So I do believe a lot in outsourcing. And as I continue to grow my brand to be bigger and bigger and bigger, this is something I'll absolutely have outsourced 100%. But until then, if you're maybe if you're just getting started, I would just suggest learning it and just understanding it, because you may decide that you actually really like doing it, and that's fine and that's awesome. And then you can teach other people what you learned and so on and so forth. So let me just get it started here with my basic strategy that you can use to kind of get started with Amazon pay-per-click, okay? So I'm not going to cover every last detail. So if you're really experienced with Amazon pay-per-click and you're listening to this, you may be thinking, why isn't he talking about this? Why isn't he talking about that? Oh, he should definitely mention this. He should definitely mention that. I get it. I can't go over every last detail in one sitting. A, because it would take too much time, and B, it would cause too much confusion. So I decided to cover specific details that I think could help somebody that is very new to the pay-per-click game for Amazon. And we definitely will cover more details and Amazon pay-per-click in more detail in the future, in future episodes for certain. So just because I say, you know, XYZ in this episode doesn't mean that that's it on pay-per-click. There's a lot of other things I could mention, like I said. So I just wanted to clarify that for you out there. If you're getting mad in your seat going, oh, you should definitely have mentioned that, don't worry about it. I get it. There's definitely a lot to learn with this, and you can only really deliver so much information before somebody's head just explodes about pay-per-click. So, and then I want to just preface that by saying by no means am I an Amazon pay-per-click expert, okay? I'm not an expert, certainly not. And I don't ever plan to be a full-on guru or expert, but I think I know enough now after really, really committing to learning pay-per-click that I can teach other people at least the basics to get them started, okay? So the first thing that you're going to want to do, step one, and I've mentioned this in past episodes, is you're going to want to just start a basic auto campaign. So just the basic Amazon auto campaign, get that started, okay? And that's going to be a broad campaign, just let it go. And what you're going to do is you're going to start out with a relatively low budget and relatively low default bid, okay? And you'll see that when you set it up, you can set those budgets in there and the bid budgets. Start out fairly low. Now, what dollar amount should you start with for your daily budget? Well, that's up to you. I might say start with $10. I might say start with $15. I might say, you know, start with $30. It all depends upon what you're comfortable spending. But just because you set a budget of, let's say, $50 a day for this auto campaign doesn't mean that Amazon's actually going to spend $50. Okay. In many cases, they never even come close. Okay. So start a relatively low budget, low bid campaign. When I say low bid, you can start up by maybe 50 cents or 75 cents a click, you know, lower, higher, you know, it's going to vary per product and per category. So I would say at least 50 cents, preferably at least 75 to kind of get some action going. You can always adjust this later, okay? So just start it and let it run and just let it get data. So what this is really all about is you're trying to collect data. You're trying to mine for gold, and you just need to start the wheels turning on this, okay? And ultimately, You're trying to find winners and basically keep promoting those and killing the losers, because you're going to have keywords that are just rock stars that you're going to really want to put on their own campaigns or put further down the funnel, which we'll talk about. And then you're going to have keywords that are just constantly killing you, that aren't serving you, that you're blowing a bunch of money on, that never convert. And you're going to want to ultimately, in the end, find out which keywords those are and pause them, add them to a negative match, so on and so forth, or lower the bids on them. So just start that auto campaign and let it run for like a week or two. Just don't touch it. Just let it run, okay? And you're going to want to see, though, is it getting impressions and clicks? So if you're not getting any impressions whatsoever and you're a few days in, what you might want to do is you might want to look at your bids. You might want to increase your budget and your bids slightly, so that way you start to see impressions, so that your ad is being served, okay, and ultimately being clicked on by the customer. So if you're noticing that you have impressions after a few days and you have clicks, that's good, okay? So you're on the right track there. You're trying to just collect some data. Now, if this is all, if you only did an auto campaign, period, if that's all you did and you just kind of managed the auto campaign, that's the bare minimum, I would say, that you should do, okay? You could definitely take this further. We're going to talk about that in step two and about how to take it further. But if you weren't interested in taking it further right now, just leave it on auto, okay? Over time, it'll refine itself, and Amazon will do a pretty decent job with your campaign if you just leave things on auto with very minimal adjustments for PPC management. So the next step, so step two, what I would do is start a manual campaign that is a broad search campaign, okay? So you'll see that when you start another campaign, you can find your product, and then you can set it on manually or manual campaign, and you can put it on broad, okay? So that's just a broad search. You're just trying to cast some wide nets out there with these broad campaigns and kind of just really start throwing these nets out there to see what type of action you can get off a huge list of potential search terms and keywords. So start up a manual broad, and you're going to use Amazon's suggested keywords. So there'll be an option there. It'll say, do you want to add your own keywords, or do you want to use the ones that we suggest based off of your listing? So they'll look at your listing, and it'll evaluate it, and it knows which keywords may or may not work or whatever, and it'll say, hey, pick them, and you can just select them all. I say throw them all in there, okay? And then you can also add your own keywords. This is something I would recommend that you do. Now you may be thinking, well, hey, Nick, how do I know what keywords to add? Great question. So what you can do is, and we've talked about this before in past episodes, you can go to Google AdWord Planner, or you can go to even Merchant Words if you want, and use those two resources to give you lists of potential keyword ideas based off of your product. So you can get huge lists of maybe hundreds of different keyword ideas from those sources. And again, look at my resources page. I'll link to those directly, Google Ad Planner and Merchant Words, which both are free to use, by the way. So you can use those if you want. Now, one of the tools that I recommend that you use, though, for this, and this is going to cost you just a little bit of money. It's not that much. Look at my resources for, and I'll put this in the show notes, for Keyword Inspector. I believe that's what it's called off the top of my head. It's a much better quality way of scraping for keywords. And what you can do is you can buy credits from this site, and it's really inexpensive to do this. Now, you can find your top competitors, like the best sellers and things like that, you know, the established listings, people that are doing really well. And you can use Keyword Inspector and use that software, that service, to kind of scrape these best-selling listings or the top competitors, and it'll give you a really nice large list of keywords that you can dump into this suggested, or not suggested, but this manual campaign that we're starting here, okay? So you're going to get a batch of keywords on your own and just dump those into this same campaign. Just dump them all in there. So you might have hundreds and hundreds of keywords now in this campaign, the ones that Amazon suggested, and then you can add your own as well. So You just kind of want to throw out as many possible ideas as you can and use, like I said, Google, AdWord Planner, Merchant Words for the free options. Or the better option is to use Keyword Inspector or a similar type program and scrape the best listings out there and extract those keywords and put them in this campaign. So you're going to start that manual broad campaign like I just mentioned for step two. And you're going to, again, set it on a budget. So set your daily budget, set your bid default budgets, and again, just let it run. Same thing with step one. If you don't notice any action for a few days, you're going to want to look at it and go, okay, I might need to raise some of these bid amounts to get some impressions going, to get some clicks going, okay? So the idea is you're just going to let these two campaigns just run. Don't mess with them that much right off the bat. As long as they're getting impressions and they're getting clicks, just let them run. You're just trying to collect data. So don't screw around and mess with them and blow them up right away or do all this stuff to it. Let them run for at least a week minimum, okay? Now, things might be kind of gaudy when you first start out. You might have, you know, tons of impressions and you might notice like, you know, not a lot of conversions to sales. So you might be getting clicks and then all of a sudden you're noticing, geez, I'm not even getting any sales out of these whatsoever. You know, this doesn't work whatsoever, and you get all mad about it. Well, the thing is, if you have a relatively new listing that maybe doesn't have a lot of reviews, or maybe it's just not a really great listing, you're going to get clicks on that listing, but the consumer might decide, you know, there's just not a lot of reviews. I don't really know about this. Maybe you only have a handful of reviews at this point. That might be a factor, okay? So over time, as you start to accumulate more reviews, make sure your listing look a little bit more attractive so that it actually has social proof. So it shows the, you know, excuse me, that the customer, that you, people are actually buying this product. So early on, it might be a little gaudy. That's what I'm kind of saying. Okay, so step number three, what you're going to do is go in your Seller Central account and you're going to go to your advertising tab and you're going to see a kind of like an underlined some text saying view advertising reports. You're going to click on that and what you're going to do is you're going to go to search term report and you're going to click request report. So it's going to take a little bit for that to run and it's going to be this massive spreadsheet. So you're going to look at this spreadsheet and you're probably going to go, oh my Lord, what do I do here? And it's going to take you a little while to kind of filter it out and kind of really make sense of what's going on because it's going to give you so much data. And this is the data I was talking about. We're mining for this specific data. This report is going to show us what's been going on underneath the hood of our PPC campaigns, which keywords are being served up, how much it's costing you to run these particular keywords in these campaigns. It's even going to show you every time a customer clicks using one of those keywords, it's going to show you the exact customer search term that the customer typed in the Amazon search menu. And that's ideally what you really want. You want to look and see and evaluate what keywords are winning and getting clicks and sales and what keywords aren't and making note of all that. And then basically looking at exact customer search terms to give you that information and start collecting that data. Now, so run the report, get the spreadsheet, and start going through these reports. Now the idea is that you're going to find the losers, the keywords that are constantly being clicked on but never actually result in sales. You're going to find those and you're going to do one of two things. Or basically you're going to either pause them or cancel them or just get rid of them completely because they're not helping you. They're only hurting you. And then if you find winners, like keywords that are converting all the time, that are creating sales and helping you out tremendously, you're going to want to basically keep those and, you know, possibly give more money to those keywords so that those ads get served even more and more and more. So cancel and kill the losers and find the winners and kind of champion the winners. Now what you want to do then is take some of those winners, though, those ones that are converting from your broad campaigns, and take those keywords then and stick them further down the funnel. So what you're going to do, and we're going to talk about that in step four, is stick those further down the funnel. Now, how often should you really run these reports? Well, I would say I do it at least once a week, so I'll do it weekly. Some people say you only need to do it about once a month. Pick and choose. I mean, you don't need to do this every day, but once a week I'll sit down and pull the reports and understand the data for the, you know, for the campaigns that are running. And that way I really know what the heck is going on and I can adjust the campaigns accordingly. I wanted to mention, almost forgot. So you're going to see, when you're looking at your data, like when you're looking at your general dashboard of your, PPC campaigns, you're going to see kind of off to the right, you're going to see a couple different fields. You're going to see spend, sales, and ACOS. Okay, so spend is obviously what it is. It's how much money you have spent on that campaign. And you can filter by, you know, the day. You can look at yesterday. You can look at lifetime. You can look at year-to-date, all kinds of stuff. So you can filter accordingly, but you'll be able to see from this general dashboard now, in the campaign manager option, you'll be able to see how much you're spending on that campaign just from like a top-down view. And you can then see the sales that generated from that particular campaign. And then the next category, which is ACOS, is going to be a percentage. Now, ACOS means advertising cost of sales. Okay, so if you do the math on the first two columns, you'll be able to see that, you know, they spit out the ACOS of that campaign, the percentage. Now, if early on, you're probably going to have ACOS percentages that are really high. They might be in the 100 plus percentages and things like that. And that might be normal when you first kind of start out, because like I said, things are a little bit gaudy. But over time, that should go down and come down lower. If you have campaigns over time that are just way over 100%, you're obviously doing something wrong. You need to make some major adjustments or just kill the campaign completely. Ideally, you want your ACOSs, just in a broad stroke here, so don't freak out if this isn't 100% to your thought process, but you want, if you have ACOSs that are, like, say, over 50% all the time, whether like 55, 60, 70%, and that's where the campaign is running for your ACOS percentages, I would say that you need to do a few things within that campaign to make some changes to adjust that. If you're at 50% or under for your campaigns in a general sense, things are going really good, meaning that your campaigns are relatively profitable at that point. Now, it's all variant on a lot of different things, like how much you're selling your product for and your profit lines and all that stuff. But in general, that's just kind of a rough number that you want those campaigns to be playing at 50% or less for your ACOS, okay? So if that's a little confusing, don't worry about it. As you start to get more experience with this, you'll start to see how those numbers kind of compute out, okay? All right, so step number four. So I kind of mentioned in step number three, you run these reports, and you're going to find winners, and you're going to find losers, okay? The idea is that you're going to want to take those winners, those keywords that are converting into sales, and you're going to want to see what else they can do. So you're going to want to extract them, write them down, add them to a spreadsheet, and start up a new campaign, actually two new campaigns. Start one up for phrase match and exact match, okay? So you're going to want to push these keywords further down the funnel to see how well they can perform in a phrase match campaign and an exact match campaign. So start those bids up, you know, get them, you know, get bids going for them, get daily budgets going for them. And my suggestion is that you kind of bid a little bit higher on these phrase and exact campaigns compared to the broad. Okay. So bid a little bit higher for them. And basically you're going to just see how they perform. Now, do they do better in a phrase than an exact compared to broad? The idea is just to kind of see what happens, you know, collect the data and just observe what's happening. And then certainly all the keywords that you found from that report that are killing you, that are getting maybe tons of clicks but no sales ever, you're going to want to find out which ones those were. You're going to want to cancel, pause, or just kill those keywords off completely. So pause them in the campaign, in the broad campaign. Add them as a negative match in the campaign. You'll see that as an option as well. So that way that you're not getting burned on these keywords over and over and over again that just never, ever convert. So kill the losers and champion and graduate the winners further down the funnel. Now, the idea is that with some of these winners then that have their Phrase and Exact campaigns running now, you want to see, again, do they perform better at that level compared to the broad? Now, you may decide that, no, actually they don't. They just still perform a heck of a lot better kind of in the broad sense. Then, you know, evaluate that accordingly. So the idea is just to kind of, you know, test and try between broad, Phrase, and Exact to see which keywords kind of perform at which levels the best, okay? So hopefully that kind of makes sense. But again, finding those winners, digging for gold in broad, casting that wide net, the winners, the ones that get clicks that convert into sales, push further down into a Phrase and Exact campaign and see how they perform. So that's basically it. And what you're going to do then is every week or two, or it depends, you know, how often you want to do this, you're going to want to just keep that process up. So every Monday, for example, I go through the reports and I, you know, I have a whole spreadsheet of winners, losers, just different things going on, notes to myself. And I simply refine and rehash my campaigns once a week with new, you know, new keywords, pushing things further down, pausing things, canceling things, constantly testing things, and just kind of observing the outcomes of that. And it seems to be working extremely well for me, but that's just kind of it in a nutshell. Now, obviously, you could do a lot more, like I mentioned. There's so many other things that you can do within here to kind of test things out. And certainly, by no means would I mention these four steps. That's not the end-all, be-all. You can definitely, you know, try different types of methods or strategies. So don't be afraid to kind of experiment a little bit. But unfortunately, when you experiment with PPC, a lot of times it gets really expensive, okay? So it can be kind of a costly thing to blow a lot of money on sometimes. So you want to be very careful if you're under a strict budget and make sure that you're not getting too crazy. But I like to kind of break things sometimes and then figure out why they break and fix it and so on and so forth. And sometimes that takes money and it sucks losing it. But once you figure some things out that are really working, it ends up paying itself back tenfold. So here's some frequently asked questions that you may have when you're messing around with Amazon pay-per-click. So you might say, well, I'm running these campaigns and I'm getting impressions and clicks, but I don't see any sales being generated. Well, if you look, Amazon will tell you that it takes up to 48 hours for a sale to actually register from pay-per-click. So just note that when you're looking at your data, it's not always caught up real time on your screen because it takes a while for that sale to get registered, okay? So just take that into consideration. You might have a couple of clicks that came in and then you'll notice 2 days later, okay, now it has sales that are reporting from that, and that's perfectly normal. Next type of issue that I see a lot is people say that, you know, I'm blowing through my budget and I'm not getting sales. So they're just getting tons of clicks all day long, and for whatever reason, it's not resulting to an actual sale. Well, you have to go back to your listing at that point and go, do I have great images? Do I have great copy? Do I have, you know, enough keywords to be relevant? If that's all a yes, then maybe the keywords that are being clicked on or bid on aren't really relevant to your product, and you have to kind of evaluate that, okay? So there's a lot of different things that you can kind of evaluate to see what's going to work and what's not going to work, why you're not getting sales. Now, another issue that I see that I want to kind of address is sometimes people will say, well, there must be a problem with Amazon pay-per-click because it's erratic, it's all over the board, it's not working today, you know, there must be something wrong, there has to be something wrong. Sometimes, yes, that's the case. And you can call Amazon and talk to people in their department, and they're not usually going to tell you, yeah, it's really screwed up today or whatever. But there have been cases in the past where Amazon has completely adjusted their pay-per-click algorithms, and it threw things completely out of whack for many days for a lot of sellers, and it was creating all sorts of controversy and chaos with listings and sales and so on and so forth. So it is possible that, yes, Amazon might be screwing around with things on the back end, and they're not going to send you an email saying, hey, by the way, we're planning on changing a bunch of stuff today. They usually don't do that. And a lot of times they're frontline people on the front help desk, they don't really even know what's going on. And they're going to tell you what they're supposed to tell you. No, everything is fine. Don't worry about it. It's just you. So yes, sometimes there are things going on. A lot of times when people freak out, though, and there really isn't anything going on in the back end, it's just kind of an off day where, like, sometimes I'll wake up in the morning and I'll see that I'll have a particular keyword out of nowhere, like in an exact match or whatever. All of a sudden it'll have like 20 clicks on it out of nowhere when that keyword normally gets maybe a click a day, as an example. So there are these unknown kind of crazy weird things that happen, and you really can't explain it. So my kind of just advice or just guidance or just knowledge on this is that it's usually a really good system, and there are little hiccups with it. It's not perfect, but typically you can call Amazon with issues and they'll look into them, but a lot of times they're going to say, no, actually everything's running great, and so on and so forth. But what I will tell you, just from experience, if you make a bunch of adjustments to your campaign, like your budgets and your bid clicks, your default bids and things like that, and you make a bunch of dramatic changes kind of a whole bunch of times maybe throughout the week, like you're changing this, you're changing that, you're doing all these changes, it can take Amazon or the pay-per-click system a few days to kind of come back down to normal from all the changes that you just put it through. So I've had times where, I'll make changes, and then the next day I'm like, oh, I want to change this, I want to change that the next day, and then the next day I want to change something. Before you know it, I'm not getting any impressions, I'm not getting any clicks, so I think, well, this is broken, something's wrong. And then my sales hurt because of it as well. And, I'll call Amazon and they'll say, well, that's just because you're making way too many changes. Give it a few days for it to kind of catch up. So you don't want to do too many dramatic changes in a given week. So I'm talking about like your daily budgets, your kind of like your major things. So if you have like a daily budget of $50 and all of a sudden you mark it down to $5, and then the next day you do 20 and you're kind of all over the board with it, it's going to freak it out a little bit. So just understand that things usually kind of even out in the long run, and that's perfectly normal. So that was kind of my basic walkthrough on how to get started in Amazon pay-per-click. Now, certainly there are a lot of other things I could cover, a lot of other gaps I could fill. And like I said, by no means am I an expert in Amazon pay-per-click. And what I'll probably do in future episodes, I will have some experts on to kind of cover a lot of extra bases, maybe some additional campaign ideas and strategies that you can use for your product. Because like I mentioned at the top of the show, yeah, you need to run pay-per-click, in my opinion. If you're not getting traffic externally from other sources outside of Amazon, you're going to need to use pay-per-click to generate sales, to get ranked for keywords, to make money. It's just kind of part of the game. Your competitors are using it. The idea is that you just want to be as good as they are, or if not better, right? So if they're just putting it on auto campaign with low bids and low budgets and things like that, they might do reasonably well kind of in a general sense, but you really want to try to maximize pay-per-click. Figure out, what's the sweet spot, the optimal, spend and the optimal campaigns to give you the biggest bang for your buck. So that way you're just dominating the heck out of your keywords, and then, doing really well in your category, and hopefully number one in your category, and just really reaping the rewards. And pay-per-click can definitely help you. So if you have any questions or comments or anything like that, please share them in the bottom of the page here. I'd really appreciate it. Or if this is on YouTube, put them in the comments, things like that. I'll try to answer them and, kind of get you moving in the right direction for your pay-per-click campaign. So that was kind of a mouthful. I tried to make Amazon pay-per-click as exciting as possible, because sometimes people, when they talk about pay-per-click, and get kind of mundane and boring, and it's no fun listening to things that aren't super exciting. But ultimately, this is really important that you understand how to at least start pay-per-click, or like what are the basics of it. So also check out my a blog post along with the podcast episode here. I'll try to put a little bit more detail for certain things that, like I talked about, like ACOS and things like that. So hopefully that'll help you and give you some further value. But until then, though, thank you for listening, and I will talk to you in the next episode. Hey, I was wondering if you could do me a quick favor. If you listen to this podcast episode on iTunes, Stitcher, or even YouTube, could you please leave me a quick review or a quick upvote? It would be greatly appreciated and go a long way to helping me reach my goal of helping 1,000 people start an online business in 2016. Thank you, and talk soon.